أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وحكما وعملا متقبلا. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، اللهم أحسن ختامنا وختام المسلمين أجمعين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, to the third in a series of classes on the fiqh of marriage. And we're reading from the book Bulugh al-Maram in Adillat al-Ahkam that was compiled by Al-Hafidh al-Shaykh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah wa nafa'ana bihi amin. We'll read the first hadith, or the first hadith for today. It's the third hadith in the chapter of An-Nikah, and then we'll discuss the explanation given by the ulama of the hadith, insha'Allah ta'ala. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمر بالباءة وينهى عن التبتل نهيا شديدا ويقول تزوجوا الودود الولود فإني مكافر بكم الأنبياء يوم القيامة. This hadith was narrated by Imam Ahmad and authenticated by Ibn Hanbal. The meaning of the hadith is that Anas ibn Malik, the narrator of the hadith, he stated that the Messenger of Allah, may Allah have some mercy and peace upon him, stated that he would command us to marry and forbid us from remaining celibate. Anas ibn Malik, he's describing the habit of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, كَانَ يَأْمُرُنَا. He didn't say amarana. As you know, in Arabic, amarana means he commanded us, past tense. But he said kana ya'muruna, means he used to order us or command us many times, on many occasions. Kana ya'muruna, that was his habit, to get married. Al-ba'a, it means to become married. And he would forbid us from a tabattul. And a tabattul, and we'll talk about the meaning of the word tabattul in Arabic later on in the class. But you might have heard the name butul. It means a woman who is away from being touched by a man. But tabattul means to cut off. And here what it means is he forbade us from cutting off from marrying women, from being celibate, from refusing to marry. And then he said, or he would say, تَزَوَّجُوا الْوَدُودَ الْوَدُودَ. Marry the loving woman, the wadud from mawadda. And one of the names of Allah, al-wadud, the loving. Al-Wadud, Al-Walud. Al-Walud, it means the one that is very fertile, or the one that has many, is very prolific, that she has many children. And then the Prophet said, فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمْ. And I will be boasting of your numbers. مُكَاثِرٌ is when two people compete, and one says, عَنْدِي أَكْثَر, I have more. The other one says, كَلَّا عَنْدِي أَكْثَر, I have more. So Mukathirun, the Prophet who will be competing with the Anbiya on the Day of Judgment, regarding the size of his Ummah, إِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمْ الْأَنْبِيَا. He will boast with the other Anbiya about his Ummah on the Day of Judgment. This hadith has been authenticated by Ibn Hibban, may Allah have mercy upon him. Just to make a point to remind us, last time we spoke about the three Sahaba. They came to the house of the Prophet ﷺ and asked about his worship, and they felt that they needed to add to the worship of the Prophet ﷺ in order to achieve more closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was because they felt that they were more in need of worshipping Allah, so they had to add on to the worship of the Prophet ﷺ. They did this not out of rejecting the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but thinking that they had a greater need to worship Allah, because they were not, their sins had not been forgiven. So they wanted to add on to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet, he forbade that, and he said, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever leaves my sunnah is not from me. And so Imam Ibn Hajar, he brought another hadith to support the concept of marriage in Islam, and that it's a sunnah or that it's one of the things that has been commanded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being described as saying, "Kana ya'muruna bil ba'a." He used to command us bil ba'a, and we spoke about the word ba'a before, which means to get married or to support a family. And so when the Prophet commands a thing, it becomes wajib on his ummah. This is because the Prophet, he's the legislator, he's the lawgiver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the role of explaining the sharia, explaining Allah's law to the people. So when the Prophet commanded a thing, when he said, يَأْمُرُنَا بِشَيْءٍ, it becomes obligatory. It becomes an obligation on the ummah, unless there are other evidences or other adilla, other times where he said the opposite or he made an exception to the rule, etc. So then that command, it's no longer a command, but it becomes a sunnah or it becomes mubah. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he's commanding us for marriage. He's commanding marriage. But as we mentioned last time, the command for marriage, it depends on the state of the person. And because he said, مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ مَبَعَ, in the previous hadith, whoever has the ability to marry, then let him get married. So here, this is the secondary evidence that reduces the command from wujub. And it becomes optional, or it becomes sunnah, or it is only obligatory on those who fear falling into sin, and they have the ability. As we mentioned last time, marriage, it can be obligatory. It can be wajib for the one who fears falling into the anas, into the fahisha, committing zina, or he knows a woman and he knows he's going to commit zina and he fears Allah, then he becomes obligatory on him to get married in that circumstance. This is provided that he can support a wife. But if he cannot support the wife, if he knows that if he marries her, he cannot support her either by spending on her, or he cannot take care of her needs in the bed, if he has a medical issue or problem, then in this case marriage is makruh, it's disliked. For a man to marry knowing that he's going to harm his wife, it is makruh. And marriage, it could be mandub, and this is for a person who has the ability to marry, but he can control his desire. His desire is not so strong, and he thinks that he can get married, and he would be able to marry and support a wife, but he doesn't have the need. Then in this case, it takes on the ruling of mandub or recommendation. And marriage could be haram. And some of the scholars, they mentioned one example of when it could be haram. They said if you're in an enemy land or an enemy territory, and if you got married, then you would expose your children and your wife to danger by living in this enemy land, so then it could be haram. So generally speaking, the marriage can take on all five of the rulings depending on the status of a person, depending on his ability and his desire. If the ability and the desire are if the desire is too strong, then he's obligated to marry. And if it's not so strong, it's encouraged. And if he feels not being able to spend on his wife, then in this case, it becomes makruh to marry. It's disliked because you're wrong with wife. And in that case, you should fast, as we spoke about last time. And so the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he's commanding us to marry, or he commanded the Sahaba to get married. And when he commands a thing, whenever you command a thing, then you are forbidding its opposite. This is one of the scholars, when they look at the text of the hadith, he commanded us to marry, that means he forbade us from remaining single. If you say to a person, sit down, that means don't stand up. Or if you tell a person, stand up, then it means don't sit down. This is the nature of language. Commanding a thing means forbidding its opposite. But why did the Prophet ﷺ specifically mention, he said he would command us to marry and forbid us from celibacy? Why did he mention forbidding us from remaining single? The reason he did that was to make an extra emphasis, so that it would be, not only would it be known implicitly, but it would be known very clearly that it was something that he forbade, and that it is not from the sunnah of this ummah to cut off from marriage in order to worship. And the scholars, they agree that a person, if he does not have too much desire
for marriage, it's still recommended for him to marry, and it's better than devoting himself to worship. If a person says, either I can get married, or I can spend that time, I don't have a fear of falling into sin, I can spend that time worshiping. I can spend my time in the masjid. Or I can spend that time studying. I can be a student of knowledge, and I'll leave marriage off for now. The majority of the ulama, they said, no, it's better to get married. Even if you don't have too strong of a desire, but some desire, then it's still better to get married. This is other than Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i, his opinion was that if you can devote yourself to knowledge, then in this case, it's better to, if you fear that your marriage will make you miss out on worship, then you can leave out marriage in that case. That was Imam Shafi'i's opinion. But the majority of the ulama, they go by the way of the Prophet, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, and they say that it's better to get married in this state. Also, the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, he forbids the tabattul. He forbids tabattul, which means to remain celibate. But if any of you have read Surah Muzammil, Allah says, does anybody know the verse? وَتَبَتُّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Right? Allah is commanding the Prophet for tabattul, which means to cut off from something linguistically. So how can Allah command the Prophet to tabattul, but then the Prophet ﷺ, he forbids tabattul on his ummah? How is this possible? The reason for this is that what is meant in Surah Muzammil is for the Prophet ﷺ to cut himself or to devote himself for worship at night so that he can receive the wahi in the daytime. But what the Prophet meant is that a person should not deny himself marriage his entire life in order to worship, in order that he should be devoted to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you know, the Prophet, he would stay up the whole night and worship until his feet became blistered. His feet became blistered and swollen. And his wife Aisha, may have mercy on her, said, why do you do this? And all of your sins have been forgiven, past and future. And he said, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be thankful to Allah? So the tabattul in Surah Muzammil, it refers to worship at night. It refers to standing in night in prayer. And the tabattul that the Prophet forbade, that refers to cutting off from women. Because tabattul, it just means cutting off. So you have to look at the siyaq or the context of the text to know what it means. And here the Prophet, he's forbidding us from cutting off from the marriage of women. No. And the Prophet ﷺ, he did not cut himself off from the dunya. This is something very well known about the life of the Prophet ﷺ. In the daytime, he was fully engaged with the people around him, the society. He would lead the army in the battle of Hunayn. The Prophet ﷺ, he was the first. He was always in the head of the army. And if you know the story of Hunayn, the Sahaba, they began to retreat because they were surprised by the strength of the mushrikeen, and they began to retreat. And the Prophet ﷺ himself, he went to the front of the army, and he gathered up the people, and he said, "Ana Nabi la kadib, ana ibn Abdul Muttalib." He was gathering the people together, and they were hiding behind him. So he was very brave, and he engaged in the battle, and he was the bravest of people in the daytime. Normally speaking, in a battle, when the army begins to retreat, the leader goes into hiding. This is what they say, they hide underground somewhere. And because the leader is very important to protect. But the Prophet ﷺ, he took the lead, and he was brave. So he did not devote himself to worship and forget about the dunya. That wasn't from his sunnah, but he engaged the dunya. And this is also the sunnah of our ummah, which is that we should not cut off from our worldly obligations. If a person, they spend all their time worshipping, they spend praying 1,000 rakats at night, then they'll sleep the day or they won't have energy in the day, how are they going to fulfill the rights of their wife, or fulfill the rights of their family, or fulfill the rights of society? What can they give to the ummah if they're always spend their time worshipping and not working for the benefit of the ummah? If they spend time with themselves and dhikr and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what are they going to give to the ummah? What are they going to give forth to the ummah? And this is why Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the sky does not rain gold and silver, And sometimes I look at a man and I'm very impressed by him. But then I ask, what does he do? What work does he do? Or they say that he doesn't do anything. He just stays alone, he doesn't do any work. And he said, that man falls from my eyes. So Umar, he was always very emphatic that the Muslims should produce for the Ummah. They should be productive people in the Ummah. So tabattul, what the Prophet ﷺ is forbidding, is cutting off from marriage and cutting off from the dunya altogether. In the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the example of the two nations in Surah Fatiha, غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. They went to both ends of the spectrum. The Bani Israel, they went totally into materialism, where they would come up with tricks to get around the laws of Allah in order to profit, in order to benefit from the dunya. Even on Saturday, they didn't want to devote themselves to worship, they wanted to benefit from the dunya. So they went completely to the extreme of worldliness, of being materialistic, to the extent that they would try to bypass the laws of Allah in order to benefit from the dunya. And even as time went on, you see that they were very active in the economy and economics and in wealth and gold and silver, and they have control in those fields. And then you look at the other extreme, which is the Nasara. The Nasara, the Christians, they came up with monasticism, and they would devote themselves to worship. You have the nuns and the monks that go to worship, and they cut themselves off completely from the dunya. And this is again another extreme, where they wouldn't get married. You see that the concept of a priest not getting married. This is very extreme in leaving the dunya and not participating in the world at all. So this is again a far extreme. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's commanding the ummah to follow a middle path. And we see that our ummah has joined the good of both. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So this is the forbidding of cutting off from women is an extreme. And the Prophet ﷺ is commanding us to get married. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَلُودُ الْوَلُودُ. Marry the prolific, the fertile woman, and those that are very loving, those that are loving to their husbands. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he explains the reasoning behind this. This command, the reasoning behind that command, he says, because I want to boast of your numbers on the Day of Judgment. إِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمْ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Again, this is one of the proofs of the ta'aleel in the Sharia, where the Prophet ﷺ, he would give the illah, or the reasoning behind the commands in the Sharia. And this is a response to those who say that there are no illah, there's no reasoning, there's no wisdom in the Sharia. The Prophet ﷺ, he explains in many of his texts the reasoning. And so here, the Prophet ﷺ, he's saying that the wisdom behind encouraging marriage is so that the ummah will grow in number. And so that the Prophet ﷺ, he'll be the Nabi with the most followers on the Day of Judgment. So this is a reminder that preventing birth, by a person preventing birth and birth control, and saying, I don't want to have children, and out of fear of poverty, this is not permissible in Islam. It is not permissible to use birth control or pills to stop marriage, to stop children altogether. There is it's considered makruh at the very least. However, to space between children, some of the scholars, they allow that. The ulama, they allow if two children are too close together or will cause harm to the health of the mother, they might allow it in that case. But to cut off, saying that we have X number of children, we don't want any more, that's enough for us, this is not allowed. And this is not encouraged by the ulama. And it is not permissible, according to the scholars, to cut the tubes or have permanent sterilization, as is encouraged in some countries. So, and we see also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Baqarah, regarding the breaking of the fast, after He says, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَبَتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. He says, now you may have relations with your wives and seek what Allah has written for you. وَبَتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Seek out what Allah has decreed for you. And this here is a reference to children. So the ulama, they state that the relations between one's wife and her husband one of the primary goals of marriage is to have children. This is something that is very important and something encouraged in Islam. And also, Allah says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. If a woman is sterile, or if there's a problem, then he can marry another. This is something allowed in Islam, to marry another wife, especially in this case where he's not able to have children with one of his wives. Now the question is, how do you know a woman is prolific? How does one know that she's wulud, that she'll have many children? And the ulama, they state that the way that one knows is by looking at her peers or her relatives, her brothers and sisters, her sisters or her maternal aunts, at her mother. By looking at what relatives of a woman, he'll know her if she comes from a family that's very fertile, that has many children. And so by looking at the circle of relatives. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Al-Wulud, Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud comes from loving. A woman who's very loving to her husband. And what does it mean, wadud? How does that? What does this mean in terms of marriage? The women, when it comes to marriage, some women, they get married, and their intention out of the marriage is that there's three types basically when it comes to marriage according to the ulama. Some women, they get married because they don't want to stay alone their whole life, so they figure it's better to have a companion. And this type of woman, she's not from the category of al-wulud, the one that loves her husband. But there's another type of woman who marries out of the desire. Since she really desires to have this marriage, she desires her husband, and she wants to share her life with her husband physically and spiritually. And that they will have a shared life together, a confluence. And this is the true desire. If a woman has this desire, this is the wudud. This is the woman that is loving. And this is the woman that will benefit her husband, and this is the one that one should search for. Because this woman, she loves her husband because of him, not because of some benefit that he spends on her, or not because he supports her children, but she loves the husband because of him, because of his personality, because of his person. And this is from her emotions. And this is what the Prophet is encouraging us to look for. A woman who will really love her husband, not a woman who's just seeking some worldly benefit out of the marriage, but a woman who's seeking, who really desires to marry her husband. And a third type of woman, she's a weight on the marriage. She doesn't want to be in the marriage, and this is something that that we're not encouraged to look for in marriage. And so the marriage that takes place, Allah describes this love between the husband and the wife. Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And we put love and mercy between the husband and the wife. Allah puts love. And this is something that is not embarrassing. For a husband to love his wife and a wife to love her husband, this is something that is very important. Something that Allah has described in the Quran. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. مَوَدَّةً, again, comes from the same root, wudud, loving. Having the love and the desire and the special relationship between a husband and a wife. And this is not embarrassing because Allah has given us a permissible outlet for the wudud, for the love. If a person, they use this love in a haram manner with a woman who's not his wife, then this is forbidden. So now if a person, they devote this love within the contract of marriage, this is something beautiful, and this is something that Allah encourages, because it's found its correct path. It's found the correct way. But now the question, a woman who is loving of her husband, this love can go to an extreme if it reaches the point of jealousy, excessive jealousy or ghira, and the woman is always, or even junoon, a woman is always madly thinking about the husband. This is an extreme. It shouldn't reach the point where the woman is always jealous about her husband. Where is he going? Who is he talking to? This is an extreme type of love, but it should be a love that is a desire to honor her husband and a desire to do good to her husband. Brother's laughing here. Inshallah, maybe he's experienced this. No. Subhanallah. No. Also, the So the love of a woman, it should always be there. It should be something encouraged between the husband and the wife. This love should be there within its proper guidelines. Then Allah says, "Mawadda wa rahma." Why does Allah say wa rahma? What is the meaning of rahma? Rahma is the compassion that a person has when he sees the weakness in another. This is what rahma, according to the scholars, it means. When you see another and you see their weakness, you have compassion for them. You want to do good to them. And this is like the example of the woman who was a prostitute, that the Prophet ﷺ narrated. She saw a dog that was dying from thirst. So she took her shoe and she gave it water. She saw the weakness of this animal, even though it was a dog, even though she wouldn't normally care for an animal that she didn't even know whose animal it was. But she saw its weakness, its helpless state, and she had rahma on it, and she gave it water. So rahma is an important quality in marriage. And Allah says, rahmati wasiyat kulla shay. Allah's mercy, it encompasses all things. So what is the difference between rahma and mawadda? Mawadda is the love or the desire that is there when people are newly married, or they're young and there's the beauty, and the husband sees the beauty in his wife. The wife likewise sees the beauty in her husband, and she's attracted. But what about when the marriage is strained? What about when things become difficult, or the woman, she becomes older, she loses her beauty, the man, he's not as wealthy? So at this time, the rahma is an important thing. It's when the marriage is strained that you are kind and you show kindness to your wife or your husband, not out of the desire, not out of this love, but out of rahma, out of showing compassion to your husband and to your wife. So many people, when they find their wife is no longer as beautiful, they lose the love, but the rahma should always be there at the same time, the rahma and the love. And likewise for the woman, the man, when he was young, maybe she had a lot of love for him, a lot of desire. But then as time went on, maybe he became ill, maybe he became incapacitated. Does that mean she no longer loves him? But that's where the rahma should come in her heart, that she has rahma for this husband, and that Allah put the muwadda and the rahma between them. And one of the scholars, he mentioned about a woman, her husband was ill, he was incapacitated on the bed for 6 years. And the woman, she stood by her husband, her wife, she stood by him for 6 years and took care of him. But more than this, somebody came, and in that gathering, he said, what if she, he said, maybe I hope that he passes away and attains shahada. Somebody said something like that, you know, the person was ill for 6 years. And he said, I hope that he passes away and becomes shaheed, something like this. And the woman became very upset. She said, no, this is my husband. She said, I hope he outlives me. Can you imagine a woman who spent so much time taking care of her husband, and then she still has this feeling that she wants him to live longer so she can take care of him. So this is the true mawanda, the true rahma that is between the husband and the wife. So the Prophet says, marry the wadud, al-wadud, the loving, so that he will boast of our numbers on the Day of Judgment. And also the scholars, they mention that this boasting of the Prophet on the Day of Judgment, all of the anbiya, they will have a group, they will have some people. Some anbiya, they won't have any followers. Some anbiya, they'll have one or two followers. Some will have a rahat. Rahat means 10 followers. And then there will be a big crowd of people, and the Prophet ﷺ will look at them, and he'll hope that is his ummah, and they'll say, no, this is the ummah of Musa alayhi salam. And then the Prophet's ummah will be brought forth, and it will be said to him, 70,000 of your ummah will enter paradise without hisab. 70,000. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ummah will be great, his ummah will be the largest on the Day of Judgment. So he encouraged us to have many children. And in Abu Dawood, there's a hadith mentioned that a man came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, I found a woman, but she doesn't bear children. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, find another. So he came back a second and a third time, and the same situation. He said that she doesn't bear children. He said, find another. And then the Prophet said, تَزَوَّجَ الْوَدُولَ الْوَدُولَ. Marry the loving and the fertile woman that will bear you many children. And some scholars, they say to marry an ugly woman that bears you many children is better than to marry a beautiful woman that will not bear you any children. This is something that some of the scholars had said. So the turning away from having children, taking what's common in many societies, you find in parts of Europe the population is decreasing. People, they don't want to have children, going away from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, where he encouraged us to have many children. And this is something that we should love because the Prophet loved it. Can you imagine, by you having many children, the Prophet will be proud of you on the Day of Judgment. You'll be a source of pride for the Prophet ﷺ on the Day of Judgment. And so we should always have conviction that Allah will provide for our children. They have their own risk. Allah says, لَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. Do not kill your children out of fear of poverty. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We will provide for them and for you. In another verse he said, do not kill your children out of poverty. If you're poor, do not kill your children out of poverty. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. In this verse he says, we'll provide for you first. In the other verse he said, we'll provide for the children. But in this verse he says, we'll provide for you because you're in a state of poverty. Allah will provide for us. So a person, they shouldn't fear poverty when having children. And finally, last note, is that those who force their daughters to get married, or even their sons to get married against their will, then how will this fulfill the sunnah of having the wudud between the husband and the wife? You can imagine a woman who's been forced to marry, how is she going to have the mawadda for her husband? How will she have the love for her husband? This mawadda, it has to come with the woman giving her choice, saying that I accept this marriage. And likewise, the son, he should desire to marry me. And it doesn't come about through wealth. So many times when looking for marriage, people look for wealth. How wealthy is the family? How much mahar can the man give? How much does the wife's family, how many gifts will she provide? This wealth will not lead to mawadda. And the Prophet ﷺ, he's commanding us to look for the mawadda, the love in the marriage. So this is what is recommended by the ulama. A person cannot buy the love from his wife, but he should earn it by being good to his wife and seeking her love, and vice versa. He should also love her, and she can attain this by being good to her husband. And Allah knows best. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan. Wa Allahu a'lam.